Did you know that Nika AATC offers self-paced online courses on a growing range of topics aimed at helping you improve health outcomes for people with HIV? These interactive courses can typically be completed in about an hour and cover multidisciplinary topics such as smoking cessation in people with HIV, geriatric assessment and integration and models of care, managing difficult behaviors in HIV care settings, and using Zoom as a virtual workspace. Self-paced online courses are offered on Rise, Nika AATC's online learning platform. Courses are designed for healthcare providers providing patient care for people with HIV, including physicians, physician assistants, nurses, pharmacists, case managers, outreach workers, and other disciplines. To explore online courses for HIV care professionals, navigate to www.nikaatc.org/rise-courses. That's www.nikaatc.org/RISE-courses, or click the link in the podcast episode description. Welcome to Nika in the Know, a podcast for healthcare providers in the HIV field. I'm Mariana Braitman. Today, I'm sitting down with John Farragon to talk about a new option to use in place of benzathine penicillin. Welcome again, John.
Yeah, thanks, Mariana. Happy to be here to talk about this topic.
So first and foremost, what can you tell us about the benzathine penicillin shortage?
Yeah, so I think, Mariana, you'll remember this because you do these just like I do, right? You're on every week. And I know we did cover this at some of this late last year. But basically in 2023, the CDC released some information that some of the local health departments and medical facilities were unable to procure enough benzathine penicillin. So just for those, many of you know this, but the benzathine G penicillin is the injectable that we use for syphilis. For their jurisdictions, they were unable to secure benzathine penicillin in some places. So from the FDA, the penicillin G benzathine injectable suspension products, the Bicillin LA, they're listed on their drug shortage webpage. And if you go on the website for the manufacturer, it's the same thing. So they recommended some programs, some guidance for programs, and they should really be continuing to follow those CDC treatment recommendations. But the benzathine penicillin is really the only recommended treatment for pregnant people who are infected with or exposed to syphilis. So make sure you're, if you don't have access to PenG benzathine, you really should be, you know, withholding effort for pregnant people who are infected or exposed to syphilis. I think we're all aware of this, but doxycycline, 100 milligrams BID for 2 weeks for early syphilis, and then for 4 weeks for latent syphilis or syphilis of unknown duration can also be used as alternatives to treatment for non-pregnant patients with a penicillin allergy. So make sure you don't use doxy in pregnancy. That's a no-no. So it's really for people with a penicillin allergy. And then they really want us to prioritize the use of penicillin G benzathine, really to treat pregnant people and babies with congenital syphilis. That's kind of where the penicillin shortage is kind of prior to this extensiline being released.
And what else is new that's been happening recently?
Yeah, so what's new is that the FDA allowed announced the availability of what's called extensiline. So extensiline, Mariana, is a benzathine benzyl penicillin injection. So it's not the exact same thing as the benzathine penicillin, but it's similar. And they're importing this and allowing this to be imported out of the United States into the U.S. really to address the ongoing shortages of Bicillin LA. The drug that we typically use. So the FDA has authorized temporary importation and use of this treatment temporarily to mitigate the effects of the Bicillin LA drug shortage. And so for equivalency standpoints, the extensiline basically is considered equivalent from a standpoint of efficacy to the Bicillin LA and is currently authorized and marketed in other countries. So for those of you who may be interested in getting extensiline, if you're out of benzathine penicillin and you need it, extensiline is only going to be available by prescription in the United States. And in order to get it, you have to place an order and you have to contact this place called Direct Success. And you have to do either an email at distribution at DS at dsuccess.com. And then there's also a 1-800 number, which is 877-404-3338. And then there's also, if you want to contact PruFarm, which is the U.S. distribution partner, you can contact them at medicalaffairs@prufarm.com. And there's also a 610-601-8600's phone numbers. So the bottom line is it's another option for us to use in place of benzethine penicillin that the FDA is allowing to be imported from other countries into the United States for us to be able to use here.
Got it. And we'll be sure to put that contact information in the episode description as well, so folks can have easy access. So what is different about this new product?
Yeah, so Marianne, I think the most importantly, the doses of benzethine that we use in the U.S. are back ordered. It's a prefilled syringe and an injectable suspension. So many of you may be aware of this if you've ever given it or if you've ever dispensed it before. It's in like a milky white substance. It's already in a suspension. It's ready to be given whenever it's needed. This extensiline, however, formulation needs to be reconstituted. So you need to dilute it first prior to giving it. So, for example, a 2.4 million unit of benzethine benzyl penicillin, you have to take 5 mL of sterile water for injection, and then there's an ampoule that's actually included, and then it's contained in the box, and then basically you inject that into the 2.4 million powder, and then you basically reconstitute it. There's also some compatibility data that's also available, not only with water, but also with 1% or 0.5% lidocaine. So sometimes, because these can be painful, sometimes people will mix it with lidocaine, and you can certainly do that with 1% or 0.5%. That's actually acceptable, and it's in the label. Into the vial of that powder for 2.4 million, it would be 5 mL of water, and then it's taken from the ampoule or diluent, or 5 mL of the 1% injection solution. And then you basically agitate that suspension for at least 20 seconds, and then you use the suspension immediately. So please just make sure people realize this, but I think most of the nursing people who are listening to me today are probably aware of this, but because it's an ampoule, you have to make sure that once that ampoule is broken and you pull out you really should be pulling out the water through a filter needle, okay? You want to make sure that you're not filtering the drug itself when you're giving it, but you want to filter the diluent when you pull it up. So if you're using an ampoule, remember you crack the ampoule, it can be shards of glass. So you always make sure you use one of those filter needles on the end of the needle that you're drawing it up with, and then put that, and then get rid of the filter needle, put a new needle on it, and then inject that into the vial. I think most nurses would know what I'm talking about, and even providers as well, if you've ever dealt with an ampoule. So just a couple things to review, Mariana, that I think are really, really important is this: the extensively labeling does not have a box warning. So there are some different box warnings in the Bicillin LA that aren't there for extensiline. The carton labeling doesn't have the warning fatal if it's given by other routes. Remember, make sure this is given IM. If you gave it IV, it's a potential fatality. You've got to be really careful with that. Extensiline also contains some soy phospholipids, so it can cause hypersensitivity reactions like urticaria and anaphylactic shock if people have soybean allergies. And we haven't stated this, Mariana, but the volume of the extensiline after reconstitution is around 7 mLs compared to 4 mLs for the Bicillin LA. So the volume is a lot more. So you really have to make sure you're separating the doses out appropriately to make sure people aren't getting a huge, huge amount into one muscle. Also, the labeling does not include detailed instructions for deep IM administration. So please refer to that Bicillin LA prescribing information as well. It does not require any special storage condition. So following reconstitution, just the penicillin benzethine really should be used immediately. And then finally, the extensiline will be available only by prescription in the U.S. And the imported product does not have the statement RX only on the labeling. So that's a little bit different too. So if you go to the website for the FDA and you search extensiline, you'll find a lot of this information is there. And they have pictures of the boxes and what they look like. And the stuff that's there and not there is actually pointed out very clearly in the FDA labeling. So I think it's really helpful for people to take a look at.
As we begin to wrap up, I wanted to ask about pregnancy and breastfeeding. What can you tell us about that in regards to all of this?
Yeah, so this is actually a nice section in the FDA website as well. And so the benzethine crosses the placenta, and about 10 to 30% of maternal plasma concentrations are found in fetal circulation. So high concentrations are also reached in the amniotic fluid. Animal studies do not indicate direct or indirect harmful effects with respect to reproductive toxicity. So basically, benzyl penicillin, benzethine, this new one, this extensiline, which is going to be available, that you can get, it can be used during pregnancy when appropriately indicated and with due consideration for the benefits and risks. I hopefully if you're doing this right, though, hopefully you're holding the benzathine penicillin, the Bicillin LA. Hopefully you're using that for your pregnant patients. But if you needed to, you could use this too. For breastfeeding, there is small amounts may reach the mother's serum content serum in about 2 to 5, 2 to 15% of the maternal milk. So no undesirable effects in infants fed on breast milk have been reported to date, but consideration must nevertheless be given to the possibility of sensitization or interference with the intestinal flora. Breastfeeding should be stopped in the case of occurrence of diarrhea in the child and in infants who are also being fed baby food. Mothers should express and discard breast milk during the penicillin benzathine treatment, and breastfeeding can usually be resumed 24 hours after finishing treatment. So that's basically what's in the FDA guidance so far. So I think this is just another option for us besides the penicillin. If you want to take a look at the FDA website and if you need to order it, you can contact those individual companies to get it for you.
John, thanks so much for joining us and telling us about some of the highlights of the use of extensiline in place of benzathine penicillin. We really hope you learned something new today. To learn more about NICA AATC's work and our role in ending the HIV epidemic, visit us at www.nicaaatc.org. That's www.necaaatc.org. If you have questions or comments about anything we covered today, or if you have suggestions for topics you'd like to hear us talk about, don't hesitate to email us at podcast@nicaaatc.org. That's podcast@nicaaatc.org. Stay safe, and we'll see you on Thursday for our next episode of NICA in the Know. This presentation is supported by the Health Resources and Services Administration, HRSA, of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, HHS. The contents are those of the authors and do not necessarily represent the official views of, nor an endorsement by, HRSA, HHS, or the U.S. government.